This is Mike Adams. Welcome to this Prep with Mike special report about the rise in thefts and what we can do, what you can do to protect yourself from the, well, explosion in thievery that is, it's already begun, but it's going to get a whole lot worse as the economy continues to crater. Now, we are seeing in Texas a lot more break-ins of vehicles, especially kind of commercial vehicles that might have tools. Even road repair vehicles are being broken into, you know, the kind of machines that repair roads, you know, with blacktop and everything, and the crews that go with them, their vehicles are being broken into, tools are being stolen, mobile repair units are being broken into, and even some government vehicles are being broken into. I wouldn't be surprised if it's happening with ambulances as well, you know, even police vehicles, things like that. Thieves are getting a lot more desperate because the economy is getting a lot worse. And this is only going to accelerate. In fact, it's going to get extremely bad. A lot of people will be left penniless when the dollar collapses, or even if just the banking system is frozen, which will lock out people from food stamps. Remember, there's 40 plus million Americans on food stamps right now. And when people can't access their checking accounts or ATMs in order to get cash, they will lose their minds because most people do not have some stored food or other emergency supplies. So they depend on, you know, constant purchasing and visiting the stores and so on. So as the commercial transaction system shut down because the dollar is collapsing or the banking system is collapsing, you're going to have all kinds of people just losing their minds, going crazy, and they're going to resort to theft in order to survive. And it's going to happen in numbers that we've never seen before. That's my prediction. Numbers that we've never seen before. We're going to have maybe 10 times as many break-ins as we normally have. Something like that. Maybe even more. Also forgot to mention, there's a lot of thieves stealing catalytic converters off of vehicles right now. That's huge. That's happening everywhere. And there are also thieves that steal copper wiring out of buildings, including commercial buildings. I've heard stories of churches being broken into, and thieves would steal the copper and aluminum wiring out of the church electrical system. I mean, that's how crazy. And that's right now. You know, it's going to get a whole lot worse. So what can you do to protect yourself from these thieves? Well, there's a couple of common sense things I'm not going to spend much time on, but obviously, if you don't live in a city, if you live, you know, farther out of the city, your chances of having stuff stolen from you tends to reduce, although there are some certain kind of meth central hotspots of drug-related thefts, or I should say thieves who need money for drugs in rural America. So there are many areas in rural America where you can still get broken into. But generally speaking, the farther away you get from the city, the better off you're going to be. So get out of the cities while you can for lots of different reasons. Now, the other thing to keep in mind in all of this is that most thieves break through very simple locks. And you probably heard the saying that locks are only designed to keep honest people honest. Well, thieves know how to defeat locks very quickly. And for most people, your front door, that lock that's on it, is easily defeated. Even the deadbolt is easily defeated with a strong kick. So there are some simple things you can buy or do to reinforce your front door so that it can't be easily kicked in, or even your back door or your sliding glass door, sliding screen door, whatever you have. Maybe you have a back porch or something, patio, and you got sliding doors. Well, you can just take a 2x4 and you can cut it to length and then just drop it in the right place where that door would slide, and then it prevents that door from sliding. So that'll cost you, you know, a couple of bucks. No big deal. For the front door, you can buy devices that wedge under the doorknob and then brace to the floor. And if you put that there at night, let's say, it's very difficult or a lot more difficult for people to kick in that door and break into your house. Now, that's not going to help you, of course, when you're out and not at home, but a lot of the break-ins do happen at night. Now, what thieves also like to do is they like to watch your patterns of when you're gone, when you go to work, and learn your habits, and then they can break into your home at a time when they know you're going to be gone. So, well, you know, how do you deal with that? What do you do? For that, I say, do not discount the idea of a dog. A dog that stays home while you're at work inside your house, if that's, you know, if you've got a dog that's trained enough to be able to do that without tearing up the place, when somebody knocks on your door, which a lot of times thieves do that, they try to pretend to be a delivery driver or something. They come up, they knock on your door, see if anybody's home. If a dog is barking and screaming at that time, especially if it sounds like a big dog, then that can dissuade thieves. Maybe not in every case, but in a lot of cases. So think about that. The other thing is, people's homes are broken into when they're on vacation or just gone on extended business trips, things like that. So if you're leaving for a few days and you're going through the airport, let's say, and you've got luggage, note that your luggage tags can be read by thieves. And there are, you know, thief teams that run around the airports just looking for people's luggage tags, and they'll surreptitiously take photos of them, zoom in on those photos, and they can see your home address, typically, because people write that on their tags. And then they know, well, you're going to be gone because you're flying to wherever. And they'll use that opportunity to break in. So protect the privacy of your information. Don't just have your address out written on a tag, like a luggage tag at the airport, and don't let people know when you're gone. This is why it's also important to have a garage for your vehicles, because if people can easily see whether your vehicle is home or not, then, you know, they can guess whether you're there or not. But if you park in a garage on a routine basis, then they never really know if you're home or not unless they approach and maybe look through the garage windows. Now, if you have enough land or you can buy a piece of land like this, it's really great to have a house that is far away from the road, because then it's not easy for people just driving by to be able to see whether you're home. Now, I see a lot of people building homes that are really close to major roads or highways even, and I always think, yeah, that's crazy. Why would you build a house that close to the road? A lot of people do that because they want the convenience of having a short driveway. Well, that also works against you in the case of thieves, because the thieves can easily see what you're doing from the road, often even without binoculars, and binoculars are easy to acquire anyway. So really, the farther away you can get from the road, the better. And it's even better if you have a house that's maybe around a corner or behind a grove of trees or up a hill, down a hill, some kind of terrain between your house and the road where people can't even see your house from the road, and thus they can't monitor you without going onto your private property. And a lot of thieves don't want to just hang out and go onto private property because they know they can be easily shot and, you know, killed by the property owners there, especially in places like Texas where trespassing can get you shot. Now, since we're talking about firearms already here, it is also critical that you have more than one working firearm. In case somebody breaks into your home or car, you need to have the ability to defend yourself. I'm not going to belabor the point, but if you're not yet up to speed or you're not yet carrying, see, this is a big issue with a lot of our listeners. They own a gun, but they don't carry it. And I know I might get a little flack for this, but folks, that Glock 19 sitting in a drawer by your bed right now at home is not helping you wherever you are. You need a Glock on your hip, and then you need a rifle within reach that you can get to, especially at home. So, of course, you need an AR-15. Of course, you need some kind of pistol, some kind of Glock style pistol probably, or a revolver if that's your preference, whatever. You're going to need something, and you need to carry it with you, and that counts for you women listening as well. It's critical to carry a firearm. Now, the good news for women is you've got lots of cool places to carry firearms, like purses and such, you know? Actually, women can conceal more firearms more easily than men, and part of that is because when law enforcement pats down women, they don't even do as thorough of a job patting down women because of women's anatomy. And, you know, they don't want to be accused of any kind of sexual harassment or anything. So a man will typically get a more aggressive pat down, including in the crotch and in the butt crack and all that stuff. A woman won't get that same level of pat down. So women can hide guns all over the place. It's pretty wild. And there are some small guns like the SIG P365 that can go great in like a belly band type of thing, or hiding it around your pelvis area, for example, with a band that goes around your pelvis. and there's an elastic place to, you know, to hold it. So look into that, gals, because you too can carry firearms in some very, very excellent places. Even if you're wearing like a skirt or a dress, then you can have a high thigh mounted firearm inside your thigh or on the outside of your thigh under a dress, something like that, where guys don't have that opportunity unless they're cross-dressing, you know. Like maybe you can have transgenders or kilt-wearing men with hidden firearms, but that's not very common. I can just see a thief showing up at the emergency room after getting shot. What happened? I ran into a man with a kilt, and he had a gun under there, man. Yeah, well, never know. Maybe you should not rob houses occupied by men wearing kilts. Anyway, then the last kind of summary of this short report here is to hide your stuff. So it's hard for thieves to steal it if you've hidden it. And if they're breaking into your home, you know, the standard thief is going to go immediately for the master bedroom. And then they're going to go into the master closet and they're going to look for jewelry on the master bedroom, you know, chest of drawers or whatever. It's always in the master bedroom. That's where the safe is. That's where the guns are. That's where the gold is. And so if you're keeping all your valuables somewhere in your master bedroom because you think it's safe because it feels closer to you, well, you're falling right into their trap. That's where they're going to go steal your stuff. So don't hide it there. And I've done several books, well, a couple I can think of right now that teach you where to hide stuff. One of them is called The Global Reset Survival Guide, and you can download it for free. By the way, it's an audiobook. Just go to globalreset.news. And then the other one I've done is called Resilient Prepping, and that's available as a free download at resilientprepping.com. And both of those will give you lots of ideas of where to hide stuff, especially if you have a yard. You can hide things in the dirt. You can practice caching. There's ways you can hide things in a tool shed, in a barn, in a kitchen, in a bathroom, you know, underneath floors, all kinds of things. Not the attic. That's too obvious of a place, by the way. That's where a lot of people automatically seem to hide stuff. And that's where thieves look as well if they have time. So don't use the most common places, but think outside the box of where you can hide things and you're going to be okay with it. You will have, I think, a tremendous success if you just think about it a little bit, get these free resources, learn what works, practice it. And then if thieves do break into your home, maybe all they're going to get is the decoys that you have set. And that's one of the things I teach in those books, by the way, is decoys. So for example, if you have a safe in your home, most safes are not very good. They're kind of crappy safes. They're not even really called safes. They're called, I think, residential security containers, something like that. And they take thieves only a couple of minutes to defeat, the typical safe that you bought at retail. So I don't put anything valuable in any safe, but I do have a safe, and it's a decoy safe. It's designed to make the thieves spend time, waste time, where they think they're going to get some good stuff, so they waste time trying to break into this safe. And if they open the safe, guess what I have in there? I have fake pirate gold coins that are like Hollywood, you know, props, basically. And they're metal. They feel heavy. They feel like gold coins. And they're like, I don't know, pirate stamps on them or whatever. I also have a stack of fake $10,000 bills. And when I say fake, I mean Hollywood. Like they're marked for Hollywood. And then I put a real $100 bill on top of it. So that if a thief breaks in, they're going to see a stack, basically a $10,000 looking stack of $100 bills. But again, only the top one is real. So, you know, they're going to steal $100 and then a bunch of fake Hollywood prop money, which is marked as prop money, by the way. And some other things, I've got some old junk jewelry that I bought online when I filmed the silver jewelry thing. So I've thrown that jewelry in there. It was a grand total of a couple $100, whatever. And do you have any old guns that don't work anymore? You have any guns that have just been through fires or something, or they just rusted or somehow got dropped into a pond and then recovered later? And it's just like, oh my gosh, this thing. So if you have any guns that don't work, you can pop those in the safe as well. And then the thieves think, oh my God, I'm stealing guns. Yeah, well, guess what? They don't work. Or you can take parts out of them and things like that. So like no firing pins, no bolt carrier groups, whatever. Or do you have an old shotgun that just doesn't work or doesn't cycle or something like that? You know, just think about stuff in there that looks valuable, but it's not actually functional or valuable. And those are great decoys. And it's going to slow the thieves down again. And they're going to fill their little stash bags with this useless stuff. And some people, I've said this before, and I've had some people say, well, you don't want to anger the thieves. They might come back and seek revenge. Well, hey, your job is not to appease the thieves. Your job is to, if you can, rip them off as they're ripping you off. You know, double play right there. It's like back at you. If you think they're going to be angry enough to come try to shoot you, well, they could have shot you anyway when they got in the first place. And this is why you need to have, for self-defense purposes, your AR-15 rifle and your handgun and so on, maybe a shotgun. But yeah, you need to be able to defend yourself at all times. But I'm not worried about pissing off thieves. I'm worried about making sure that my fire is accurate, frankly. Because if thieves come to my place, they're going to meet some resistance. I'll just put it that way. And unless they can dodge bullets, they're probably never leaving my ranch. Never. Not in a body bag, nothing. You know, they're going to be a permanent fixture of the land for centuries to come. So, you know, and that's the kind of thing you want to project to would-be thieves. And, you know, along those lines, I'll add one more thing. Don't look too wealthy, okay? Just don't run around looking all rich. It's a silly thing to do anyway, I think. If you're flashing like $5,000 watches or even, maybe even less, or a bunch of jewelry, or you're driving a really fancy car just because you like to, I don't know, a Jaguar or something, you know what? People are going to target you. It's much better to dress down, just have a normal vehicle. It's a lot less expensive to operate anyway. And don't live in some crazy giant mansion that looks like it's loaded with, you know, safe rooms filled with gold. And just live in a normal-looking kind of place. And frankly, having it a little bit run down as the economy collapses, it's not the worst idea. If you want to, like, maybe stop mowing the lawn a little bit, you know, let the weeds grow in. Have an old abandoned car on the front lawn, you know, really fit in there. Go, like, full redneck right there. like, random trash, I don't know. It's up to you. I'm not saying everybody's got to do this. And if you're in a homeowners association neighborhood, they won't like you to do this. But frankly, as the collapse gets worse, the more you look like you're also joining in the financial collapse, the safer you are. It's the danger to you is if you stand out as somebody who's still got tons of money and maybe tons of jewelry and maybe gold and maybe ammo and whatever else while everybody else is suffering. That's where you're going to get targeted. And depending on how bad this thing gets, you might get targeted by groups of people, not just one or two thieves, but, you know, 5 or 10. And that's where you need to make sure that you have the ability to reload quickly. And that's where you need certain kinds of sights on your firearms so you can hit people at all kinds of ranges, by the way, you know, rifles. One of those good sights is called the DR Spectre, by the way. I like that. So I think it's made by Raytheon, you know, the weapons manufacturer. And it's a very special kind of sight built like a tank, and it'll run you about $2,000, by the way. But if you get into a fight with a lot of people at medium range or even to the range of the rifle, this sight makes a whole lot of difference because you can range and you can fire. And you can compensate for bullet drop at all kinds of different ranges very quickly. Anyway, if you're in a firefight with like a dozen zombies, you know, things have gone pretty bad. But you're going to thank yourself for having invested in the kind of gear that can keep you alive during all of this. Because that's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about mild times here. I'm talking about bad times. I'm talking about serious apocalyptic collapse type of events. Okay? And when I say, you know, make your front yard look all trashy, that's not an everyday thing. I'm saying in a collapse, you want to join in the collapse in terms of the image that you present to the community, or they will turn against you. Trust me, they will turn against you. Oh, you're a hoarder. Oh, You have food? You have ammo? Well, you need to share with everyone, right? And okay, I plan to donate to churches and so on. I have a whole bunch of stuff set aside to share with the community. But then I have some other stuff I'm not sharing. That's for my survival. Yeah, 'cause, you know, I'm going to help the community a lot, but then there's some stuff that's, no, don't touch that. And, oh, you want to, seriously, you want to touch it? Okay, go ahead then. Go ahead and touch that. Let's see how that goes. Along those lines, by the way, don't forget to go to the used clothing store and buy some old baggy clothes, because some people are going to be starving to death. A lot of people are going to be losing weight. So in order to fit in, you're going to need to look like you are also losing weight. Even if you have a food supply and you're not losing weight, you need to project that image. So get some old baggy used clothes from a secondhand store. It's always good to go shopping at these kind of thrift stores anyway, because you can find some very useful prepping stuff, by the way. No kidding. Sometimes some real gems. And there's no shame in it, folks. I know a lot of you who listen to this, you're very well off. I'm trying to help you keep that, keep your assets. And there's no shame in going to a secondhand store to get gear for preparing for the collapse of society. Don't worry about it. Or shopping at a dollar store, whatever. Hey, I'll go to dollar stores sometimes just to see what's happening there. Of course, I film videos about all of it. Like, I'll buy food at a dollar store. In fact, I have a couple of bags of food that I'm about ready to film just to say, hey, look what you can get at a dollar store. I'll go into secondhand stores and just see what's happening, check out the scene. There's no shame in it. You know, I don't live in a big giant mansion. I don't wear jewelry. I don't dress up. If you saw me out on the street, you would never think that I'm a wealthy person financially or anything like that. And that's all by design. I mean, why attract unwanted attention? So anyway, those are some of my tips, but check out my books, by the way. You can download all my books for free. There's a link at the top of naturalnews.com. It's called audiobooks. Just look for that. Just go to naturalnews.com and then you'll see the audiobooks link at the top, and just click on audiobooks and it'll show you, I think, all 6 books that are currently available. And I'll probably do another book next year. And by the way, I've got the very first book that I did, called Survival Nutrition, is being turned into a printed, published mainstream bookstore book. And that will be out in the fall of 2023 if society doesn't collapse first. I always wonder if these books will ever make it out the door because of the way things are going. But anyway, that's an overview, and there's a lot of great information there in those books. It'll help you in so many ways, and it's all free of charge. And I'm just here to help you navigate all of this and get you through this. And frankly, I think if you listen to my Prep with Mike audio special reports like this one, and also my videos on prepwithmike.com, and you follow those steps, and then you engage in some practice, you get proficient in some firearm self-defense skills and things like that, you're going to be well ahead of everybody. You're going to be fine. You're going to make it through this. And that's critical, because we all have to be part of the rebuilding on the other side of this. But you don't have to freak out thinking you're going to die. No, the people who are going to die are the people who are unprepared. There's a lot of those people, but that's not you. So have no fear about what we're facing. Just get prepared, and then just be ready for it, you know, psychologically, so that you're not shocked by how desperate other people get. All right. Thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also prepwithmike.com.